Hebrews chapter number 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 19 tonight, Hebrews chapter 10. Let's pray for her tonight. I tell you what, Brother Mac, won't you stand and pray for Jennifer, Miss Rosie's daughter, and in the hospital in Jackson. And she's going through just some serious personal things right now. I don't know if that's probably part of the reason she's there tonight. But pray for Jennifer tonight, Jennifer Mooney, and just pray the Lord will touch her body and whatever she's dealing with, the Lord will take care of, okay? Brother Mac, why don't you pray for us real quick? Amen. Amen. Keep praying for her through the night when you think about her, even after the service. Let's lift her up in prayer tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 19 tonight. The Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And I want to bring us a message tonight entitled, "Let Us Not Neglect What We Have." Let us not neglect what we have. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. Having therefore, now you have to remember everything that we preached this morning. You have to remember the context before, the fact that we are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the better sacrifice, that He made a way through His blood for us to have salvation and have our sins forgiven. And He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We all know the phrase, you don't know what you have until it's gone. You know that phrase, I know that phrase, and all of us have experienced that in our lives at times. And by the way, churches and church folks have experienced that lately, haven't they? Recently, with the matter of not being able to come when we want to come, and with everything that's going on in our country, you don't know what you have until it's gone. I think one of the areas that we don't think about, or we think very little about, for all of us, we don't think much about our youth and our health and our vitality and our strength until it begins to wane, until we begin to get a little bit older and a little bit older, and we look back and we think, boy, I wish I had done some things different. I wish I'd used my youth and my strength and my vitality in a better way. I wish I'd have used it better for God than wasting it on other things. And we don't think about it often. A lot of times we don't think about the time that God gives us with our children until they get to the age where they're getting ready to leave home. And then we think, oh, I wish I had more time. I wish I could spend more time rearing and training and nurturing. We don't know what we have until it's gone. And we come to our text tonight, and that is the truth that is set before us in our text tonight. Because of Jesus Christ, because He is the better sacrifice, because He has made a way for salvation, because He has given us an eternal inheritance, an eternal promise of a home in heaven, because of everything that He has done, we have access to the very throne room of God. We have access now to go to the Holy of Holies. The Jews were never able to do that. Only the high priest was able to go to the Holy of Holies. Just your normal, average, common Jew could not go into the Holy of Holies, into that place where the Shekinah glory was, where the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the presence of Almighty God. They could not go there, but now, because of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity. And by the way, we're not going to go back tonight and preach Hebrews 4. We've been there many times before. But we have the opportunity to go in prayer. The message tonight is not necessarily on prayer. Let us not neglect what we have. What do we have? We have the opportunity. We have the access into the Holy of Holies. Let's don't neglect that. And I pray that we'll see that tonight as we go through these seven verses. Let's pray and ask God to help. I want to give you two truths tonight from this passage. We'll develop those and then we'll head home. Amen. Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to come to your house, to hear from your word, to be taught, to be helped. And Father, we were so encouraged this morning, or at least I hope we were, from Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10 and what we saw there about our intercessor. And really, we're continuing that tonight because you are our high priest, and because you're there, we can come there. And Lord, we saw our inheritance. We saw the fact that our iniquities are remitted, they are removed, they are remembered no more. And so tonight, in light of that, I want us to see, and you want us to see, because it's your word, Father, you want us to see tonight not only the great access that we have, not only the great privilege, but also the great responsibility. And so, Lord, I pray that we would see that tonight. Help and teach us, Lord. Be with those that are away from us tonight. Be with those that are sick. Lord, we lift up Miss Jennifer to you once again. And Father, whatever she's dealing with right at this very moment, I pray that your hand of healing would be on her. I pray that you give the doctors wisdom. I pray that you'd be with family, whoever's there with her right now, Miss Rosie, whoever, Lord. I pray that you would just help them and be with them even at this moment. And Lord, just do a work in her physical body. Lord, teach us tonight and make us different because we were here. Make us different because not just because we were here, but because of what we heard. And because of what we're going to hopefully apply to our lives tonight. We love you, Lord. Help us, and we'll thank you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The first thing I want us to see tonight is I want us to see the accessibility provided by Christ. The accessibility provided by Christ. And I'm going to give you five statements here regarding the accessibility provided by Christ. Number one, first of all, we are welcomed to worship. We are welcomed to worship. Secondly, because we have access to the Holy of Holies. And here's the thing, we can worship anytime, can't we not? We can worship anytime. We can go to God anytime. We can go into His presence anytime because the veil has been rent, because the Holy of Holies is not an exclusive place anymore. It is exclusive in the fact that it's only for those that know Christ. It's only for God's children. But it's inclusive now because it's not just the high priest. It's not just that. It's not just Aaron and his descendants. No, anybody can go to the Holy of Holies. We see the accessibility provided by Christ. We are welcomed to worship because we have access to the Holy of Holies. Thirdly, through His blood, which gives us boldness. Would you notice verse number 19? Having therefore, we have a possession. God has given us something. And again, that's part of the testament that we talked about this morning. And we didn't even speak of this, but part of that testament is the fact that we can go to the Holy of Holies now. The part of the great riches that God has given us and provided us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the fact that we can come directly. Look, I don't have to go through the Father. It's one of the great there are many, but that's one of the false teachings of the Catholic Church, is that you have to go through the Father, that you have to go through the Pope, that you have to go through one of their priests to get to heaven. No, we don't. And by the way, it was interesting when all of this quarantine stuff started, a priest actually admitted, well, you don't have to come to us anyway. Huh. He actually admitted it. I don't have to go through someone else. You don't have to come to me and have me pray for you to God. No, no, no. We can go directly to the throne of grace. We can go directly to God. He says, having therefore, we have a tangible possession. We have something. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Remember what Hebrews 4 tells us? It says, come how? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Having therefore, brethren. And by the way, where does that boldness come from? What does verse 19 say? Where does the boldness come from? The blood of Christ. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. I can go to the Holy of Holies. Why? Because of the blood of Christ. And I can go boldly because Christ has given me the accessibility to be able to go boldly because of His blood, because my sins are washed away, because the blood has been applied to my life. We are welcome to worship because we have access to the Holy of Holies through His blood, which gives us boldness. The fourth statement about this accessibility, and not only through His blood, which gives us boldness, but also through His death, which bridges the divide. Verse number 20, by a new and living way. Not by the old way where only the high priest could go in, but by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us. Notice this, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. When He died, speaking of His flesh here, when He died, what happened? The veil was rent. Would you take your Bibles, hold your place here in Hebrews 10, and would you go back to Mark real quickly, Mark chapter number 15. Mark chapter number 15. The accessibility provided by Christ, the accessibility to what? To the Holy of Holies, to the very presence of God, to the throne room of God. We are welcomed to worship because we have access to the Holy of Holies through His blood, which gives us boldness, and through His death, which bridged the divide. You see, in the tabernacle, you had the outer court, then you had the holy place, and then you had the Holy of Holies. In the holy place, you had the showbread, you had the candlestick. But when you went into the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could go in there. By the way, they had to put bells on their garments in case something happened in there. That, maybe if they offered strange fire or something in there and God killed them on the spot, they could pull them out. They could hear the bells ring and they could pull them out. Nobody could go into the Holy of Holies but the high priest. But now the death of Christ bridges the gap. It rent the veil, and now there is a way into the Holy of Holies. Look, if you would, here in Mark chapter number 15 and verse number 24. And when they had crucified Him, they parted His garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified Him. And the superscription of His accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with Him they crucified two thieves, the one on His right hand and the other on His left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and He was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on Him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with Him reviled Him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Verse 38. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. Why? Because God rent that veil. God rent the veil. And he said, now you have access to the Holy of Holies. Now not, it's not just the high priest. Now because of Christ and what he has done, he rent the veil. The death of Christ bridged the divide. Not only for salvation. Not only so that we could be saved. Not only now that the Gentile world can be saved. But now we have access to the Holy of Holies. The accessibility provided by Christ. We are welcomed to worship because we have access to the Holy of Holies through His blood, which gives us boldness, and through His death, which bridges the divide. And the fifth statement about the accessibility provided. Because where Christ goes, the Christian may go. Because we're in Him. Would you look again in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 21, verse 20, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh. But notice verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God. We saw that this morning. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our intercessor. He is our high priest. He is our mediator. And by the way, where Christ is, we are welcomed. Think about that for a moment. Where Christ is, you are welcomed. And Christ is in the throne room of God. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And where Christ is, because we are in Christ positionally. Hey, read Ephesians tonight. Read Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. It talks about being in Christ, being in Christ, being in Christ. And where Christ is, we may go. The accessibility provided by Christ. Wherever I go, my kids can go. When the kids were little, we took the kids everywhere with us. We still do, not as much as we used to. They're able to stay home by themselves now. But when they were little, everywhere we went, they went. And by the way, they were welcome to go with us. Some parents would, they said, why do you always take your kids everywhere? Why don't you leave them somewhere and go out by yourself? No, because where we go, they can go. Now, I'm not saying we never, ever, ever went out by ourselves. There were occasions my mom and dad would watch the kids and we'd go out, but 99% of the time where we went, our kids went. And I'm going to tell you what, where Christ is, we are welcome. Because we're in Him. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Number one, we see the accessibility provided by Christ. Friend, let's not neglect what we have. Having therefore, brethren, we have the accessibility. We can go to the throne room of God. And yes, we can go in prayer. We can obtain. By the way, let's just, and we're not going to preach this tonight. I'm not going to stay here. But could we just look at Hebrews 4 real quickly? Could we look at those three verses that should be so familiar to us tonight? Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 14. The Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, the same thing we see in chapter number 10. Having therefore, and we're going to see three let us's tonight. Having therefore, he said, let us therefore come boldly because of the blood of Christ unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a great privilege. What a great opportunity. What a great accessibility. Number one, the accessibility provided by Christ. But secondly tonight, the accountability proclaimed to the Christian. The accessibility provided by Christ. But number two tonight, the accountability proclaimed to the Christian. Let's begin in verse 22. And in verses 22 through 25, we have three times we see the little phrase, let us. Let us. Let us. Notice verse number 22. Let us. Okay? Because of what we have. Having therefore, brethren. Notice. If you'll notice verse 22, the sentence hasn't ended from verse 19. You notice that? Hey, moms tonight, how many of your kids, when they write, they just write one big run-on sentence? Just one big long paragraph, no periods. There's one honest mama back there. Look, we're still in the same context, the same thought. There's not a period yet. We're still in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, verse 22, let us, because of what we have, let us draw near. We're welcome to worship. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now it stops. There's the period. We see the first let us. The first let us is upward. The first let us is upward. And what does he say? He says, come. He says, draw near. The first let us is upward. He says, come. Come into my presence. And come into my presence with a pure heart. And so we see the accessibility provided by Christ. But secondly, we see the accountability proclaimed to the Christian. Okay, we have great access. We have a great opportunity. Having therefore, brethren, because of what we have, because we have that access, because of the blood of Christ, we have a responsibility. We are accountable for a few things. And first of all, we are accountable to come. To come in worship. To come into His presence. And not only to come into His presence, but to come into His presence with a pure heart. I think verse 22 really is, I know without a doubt it's talking to the Christian, to the one who has already believed, because verse 19, who does verse 19 reference? Brethren. He's talking to believers. Okay, so verse 22, I don't believe he's asking somebody to come to salvation. I believe they're already there. I believe they're already saved. But he said, come, you can come. You can come and worship. Come into His presence. Okay, if it's available for me to go into His presence, then don't you think I should? If I have the opportunity, if the access is available, if the privilege is there, don't you think I should do that? Absolutely. And I should do it with a pure heart. By the way, we tell our teachers and those that sing in the choir and anybody that has a place of service on Sunday or Wednesday or any time for that matter, look, when you come in here on Sunday and you come, let's come prepared and ready to worship. And the way that we do that is by coming with a pure heart, with a heart that's right with God, with a heart that has prayed and gone into His presence and obtained mercy and found help and obtained grace. We come with a pure heart. And by the way, that happens during the week. We live during the week preparing ourselves for Sunday. We live Saturday night preparing ourselves for Sunday morning. That's why it's hard for individuals who stay up late on Saturday night and Sunday morning, stand up watching Hollywood movies. It's hard to come in here with a right heart. And I'm not trying to meddle. I'm just saying. That's hard. It's hard when we haven't prepared Saturday night. It's hard when we haven't prepared Friday. It's hard when we haven't prepared Thursday. It's hard when we haven't prepared all week to come in here on Sunday morning and be in the right frame of mind and be in the right spirit and have the right heart to come in here and worship. The accountability proclaimed to the Christian, the first let us, is simple. It's upward. It's toward God. It's Godward. And He says, come. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. By the way, how do we wash ourselves during the week? What is the pure water that we wash ourselves with? It's the Word of God. Ephesians 5. It's the Word of God. What washes us? What cleanses us? It's the Word of God. So number one, as we think about the accountability proclaimed, the first let us is upward. He says, come. Come into my presence. Come with a pure heart. We see the second let us. The second let us is inward. The second let us in verse number 23 is inward. And He says, cling or cleave. Notice what He says. Let us in verse 22 draw near. Let us in verse 23 hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Hey, don't come and worship with a heart that's doubting. No, you come, you cleave, you cling to that profession of faith. You cling to our profession. We cling because of His promise. Do you see that in verse 23? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Look, Christ has done all of the work. Has He not? He's done all of the work. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us cling to it. Let us cleave to it. And by the way, not working something up in ourselves. No. We cling to it because we have confidence in the One who has promised that we have eternal life. Do you see that in verse 23? For He is faithful that promised. You don't, your faith doesn't have to waver. Well, I don't know if God can do what He said He was going to do. I'm going to tell you what, if we can't trust God, well, then we can't trust anybody. If we can't have confidence in what God has promised, then there's nothing that we can have confidence in. Because His promises always come to pass. Because He's always true, He's always right, He's always faithful, verse 23 says. The accountability proclaimed. We are accountable to God upward. We're accountable to come, to worship into His presence with a pure heart. The second let us is inward. We're to cling. We're to hold fast. We're to keep it. We're to guard it. The profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful. That promise. By the way, what has happened in the past couple months shouldn't have caused you to waver an iota in your faith. Because God is still King. We are not alone because He's still on His throne. Cling to our profession because of His promise. Cling to our profession because of His promise. So the first let us, it's upward. He says, come. The second let us is inward. He says, cling. And the third let us tonight is outward. And He says, consider. Notice verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The third let us is outward. We have a responsibility to the brethren. We have a responsibility to each other. I have a responsibility to God that's upward. I have a responsibility to myself. That's inward. To cling, to cleave, to hold fast my profession, to know the Word of God and study the Word of God. I have an inward responsibility, but then I have an outward responsibility, and that's to you. Just like you have a responsibility to everyone else as well. And He said, and let us consider one another. You know what I'm doing when I make the decision that I'm going to be faithful to the house of God and faithful to church and faithful to gather together. You know who I'm thinking about when I do that, even though subconsciously or unconsciously I may not even think about it, or consciously, whatever the right word is there. I don't consciously think about it, but subconsciously and unconsciously, you know who I'm considering? I'm considering you. When you choose to be faithful, you are, whether you're doing it on purpose or subconsciously or unconsciously, you are considering your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Because one of the main reasons why we come is to provoke each other. Look, we don't come to get a check mark. Present, I'm here. Give me my check mark. Chris will tell me, and he doesn't do it every service. I don't even need to know every service, but you know, he'll tell me after some of the service, you know, we had this many people watch tonight, and we had this many from Tennessee, this many from Arkansas, this many from North Carolina. We had somebody from Switzerland, somebody from South Africa, we had somebody from Canada. You know, he'll tell me all those. And he'll tell me occasionally, he said, well, we had 50 that viewed today, but actually it was 45 because five of them tuned in during the invitation. That doesn't count. And he makes the joke, you know, they're getting their check mark. They checked in. They were present, even though it was at the end of the service during the invitation. But that's not why we come, just to get a check mark. I know kids sometimes, they have competitions in their Sunday schools and they want to get attendance points. I get that. But for us, especially as adults, we don't do this to get a check mark. We do it because we're to come and provoke each other. Look what it says, to provoke each other to love and to good works. The third let us is outward. He says, consider. We are to provoke one another and we are to be present with one another. We're to provoke each other to love and a good works. And I just mentioned this recently, that provoking is a good provoking. It's a good provocation. It's not provoking each other to get angry. No, no. It's provoking each other to love and to good works. It's provoking each other to go out and do that which is right. It's having fellowship and provoking each other to continue on for another week. To keep living for the Lord Jesus Christ for one more week. We're provoking each other to love and to good works. Verse number 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, we see the accessibility provided by Christ. We are welcome to worship because we have access to the Holy of Holies through His blood, which gives us boldness, and through His death, which bridges the divide. He rent the veil. The veil was rent. We have access to the Holy of Holies now. And simply because where Christ goes, the Christian may go. The accessibility provided. Secondly, the accountability proclaimed to the Christian. We have three let us's. The first one is upward, let us come. The second one is inward, let us cling. And the third one is outward, let us consider. Let us consider. And I hope when we make decisions about faithfulness, I hope we consider each other. I hope we consider that maybe, you know, if I'm not here, maybe that will affect someone else's outlook on faithfulness. I hope we'll consider each other. I want to read, and this is from a commentary. This is just a good example about verses 24 and 25. The commentator says, I was brought up in Britain where most of the houses were not centrally heated. Instead, each room had its own small fireplace. I well remember the good fire that was always kept burning in the fireplace of the living room whenever the weather was inclement and cold. The coals would be heaped up and the flames would roar up the chimney. Occasionally, we would take an iron poker and stir up the coals so that the air could circulate and the fire stay alive and hot. Once in a while, a coal would fall down and roll off to one side. When it first fell, it would be bright red and glowing with the fire. But after a short while, a very short while, The isolated coal would lose some of its luster. The glow would fade, and it would look dull and listless. Soon it became black with just a wisp or two of smoke ascending from it as evidence of its former heat, until presently it was cold enough to be picked up by hand. That is the picture the writer has in mind. We are to exhort one another, stir one another up, keep the fires of the Spirit burning brightly. We need to be kept close together so that Christian warmth can be communicated back and forth from one member of the fellowship to another. And what a tragedy it is when we begin to stop attending the gatherings of those of like precious faith. We soon begin to lose our fervor. We grow imperceptibly but surely colder toward the things of God until at last, for all the evidence there is of life, we are no different from the worldly, unsaved people around us. And that is what happens. When a believer, when a brother or sister falls to the side and begins to stay away from church and away from the fellowship and away from the heat and the stirring of his or her church family, before it's all said and done. By the way, it may take years, it may take months, it may only take days, but it may take years. But slowly and surely, and before most of the time, before they even know it, there's no warmth there at all. They're cold. And their heart has grown cold to the things of God. The accountability proclaimed to the Christian. Three let us's. Let us come upward. Let us cling. That's inward. Let us consider. That's outward. We have great accessibility, but with great access comes great responsibility. God help us not to neglect what we have. We have access. By the way, God help us not to neglect what we have in the local New Testament church. Let us not neglect what we have. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, let us come, let us cling, and let us consider. Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that you would help tonight. First of all, I pray that you would encourage us once more about the access that we have. Father, Father, I've used this word a lot today, but Lord, because of our finite minds, my finite mind, I don't think I totally grasp the privilege and the opportunity that we have, that I have, to come into your very presence. I believe if we could bring some of the Old Testament Jews and let them stand behind the pulpit tonight and let them recount the fact that they could never go to the holy place, or even not only the Holy of Holies, but they could never go to the holy place. Father, I think it would give us a different aspect. They know what it means not to be able to go there. And Father, we get to go there. And sometimes I believe I personally neglect that privilege. And Father, I pray that you convict me of that tonight. Father, I pray that you convict me of the three let us's. Lord, I pray that I would come more. I pray that I would cling and hold fast to my profession, never wavering in my faith, no matter what comes, no matter what circumstance comes into my life. I pray that I would consider my brothers and sisters in everything that I do, but especially when it comes to this place, that I would consider their needs. I would consider the truth that I may not have any idea what they've gone through in the week before, and be sensitive to that. And Father, that I would provoke, not to anger or not to hurt, but I would provoke to love and to good works. Help us tonight, Lord. If we need to do business with you, I pray that we would. I pray that your Holy Spirit has had freedom to move in our midst tonight. And Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know if the Lord's worked in your heart tonight, but if he has, I would encourage you to pray right where you're at. I'd encourage you to come to this front pew or these steps here at the platform and come and just pray. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, he is the better sacrifice. He shed his blood. He finished the work. He only had to go one time. He only had to sacrifice once. There's nothing else that needs to be done. You just need to receive the gift, the free gift, and that's what a gift is. It's free. The gift of his salvation tonight. Would you do that if you don't know Christ? Paige is going to begin to play. Friend, if you need to come, whether it's a believer that needs to just come pray or whether you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, let me ask us believers, are we being accountable to the three let us's? Let us come. Let us cling. Let us hold fast. Let us consider. Are we being responsible in those? Fully accountable? Upward, inward, and outward. Coming into his presence with a pure heart. Clinging to our profession very simply because of the promise that we have. He is faithful who hath promised. And considering one another to provoke to love and to good works. I believe that's why God says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because we never know that one time when we assemble together, that one individual that we may provoke, that we may help, that we may encourage. And we need to consider one another, consider each other. When we make our decisions, many times we make our decisions and we only consider self. Well, I don't need to go to church today because I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And we only think of self. Instead of considering those that we might impact or influence in a negative way because we're not there. Never considering the individual that you might have been able to impact positively because you were there. Consider. Let us not neglect what we have. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention, for your attendance today. We're going to pray and be dismissed. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. If you haven't given yet, and if you're able, if you came prepared, I'd encourage you to do so tonight. Everything that comes tonight will go to Josiah Crow. No, unless you designate otherwise, and that'll be fine. But if it's just cash or whatever, it'll all go to Josiah, okay? Brother Eric Tucker, would you dismiss us, please, sir? Amen. You are dismissed.